Well, everybody, welcome to episode 273 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Centennial football tonight, but first we're going to have a special guest. She is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and this is her second time on the podcast, I think. She was here about 4 months ago, but I know she's excited to have the football season underway, so I thought it would be a good time to have her back on. She is Janae Griffith. Janae, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let's talk some football first. Of course, your son Quincy was on the podcast in late July to discuss his experiences on the Iowa football staff, where he's a graduate assistant coach. You know, and he did a great job, by the way. So I assume you and Eric are headed over to Iowa City on Saturday. I guess I know who you'll be rooting for based on your gear here.
Yeah, we are. We made it over last Saturday as well and had a fun day. It was hot, but it was a fun day. And looking forward to this weekend because, of course, it's going to be, I think, a great game.
Yeah.
And it's always fun when you have a rivalry.
Yeah.
Interstate rivalry. Sorry, I can't talk.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about this game here in a minute, but yeah, on Saturday, I was at Iowa State on the field. It was a hot day, but what did you think of Iowa's new offense?
I liked it. I thought it was, I mean, of course, you know, we didn't score any points the first half, but they kind of cranked it out as in the second half. But yeah, it was real fun game to watch, and I think it's going to be great.
Well, the defense must be good as usual, giving up no points.
Yes, yes, they're solid, really solid.
Well, this is supposed to be a close game on Saturday. The line I saw was 2.5. You mentioned that too.
And, yes.
You know, I don't know how far into the weeds of football analysis you like to go, but you know what do you think is going to be the keys to this game?
Ooh, I have a really good friend who's really concerned. She's a big Iowa State fan, and she's really concerned about Iowa State's defense. Mm-hmm. She didn't think they looked all that great, even though they held them. I'm not real good at analysis of football, but I don't know. I think, of course, Iowa defense is going to be strong throughout the year as long as everyone stays healthy. And I think just with our new offense and things that we're doing, it's going to – you know, it's just going to be more fun to watch and a better all-around game. So, sorry, I'm not very good at the analysis part.
All good. Yeah, I can attest to what your friend said. Yeah, after watching that game, Iowa State's defense got pushed around a little bit, and they lost one of their key linebackers to an injury. They're kind of thin there. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned as an Iowa State fan that Iowa might just be able to run the ball down their throats, which they've done before. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting how it goes. So.
Well, hey, let's talk some real estate. Now, you know, have you had a busy summer in that regard?
I've had a pretty busy summer. I've had a lot of buyers. I haven't had many listings, but I've got some custom builds going on. It's just, you know, things going ways with real estate, and I've got three builds going on right now with my buyers. So that's really fun because you know they get to pick out things and get to make something their own a little bit, you
sure.
know. So it's always fun to see the end product.
And how much input do you have on what they do, or is it you pretty much just let them do what they want
to
do?
I usually go with them to pick out things, and I try not to give my opinion too much because, you know, everyone has their own tastes and styles and, you know, color schemes and things like that. But it's just fun to be there and help them. And sometimes I give my opinion, of course.
Sure. Well, you know, there were some big changes in the real estate industry here recently, and that's something that we've talked about on the podcast here in the last couple of weeks with some other realtors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has that been a big adjustment for you?
It just officially changed, you know, August 17th. We started it in July. Yeah, I mean, it's just something you have to have conversations with your buyers about. We're hoping as an industry that things aren't going to change a whole lot, but we just have to have better and more deeper conversations with our buyers and sellers about our commission and you know, how we get paid in our businesses. So
yeah, it just sounds like it's a matter of just communication.
Yes, yeah. Communication. And yeah, just, you know, selling your worth. What are you worth to a buyer or seller? And that's what we have to do in our industry. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they're interested in, you know, either buying or selling?
Give me a call or a text, 515-321-0712.
All right, Janae. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ Properties is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic, and we certainly appreciate their support. And if you happen to own a business here in Ankeny or the surrounding area, if you have any interest in advertising opportunities or sponsorships with Ankeny Fanatic, you can get a hold of me, and I can let you know what opportunities would be available for that, if that's something that you're interested in. You can probably the best way to reach me would be by email at AnkenyFanatic@gmail.com. All right, well, my next guest tonight is a senior quarterback and defensive back for the Centennial football team. Last Friday, he helped the Jaguars to a 31-10 victory over crosstown rival Ankeny. He rushed for 31 yards on 6 carries and also completed 4 of 6 passes for 12 yards and a touchdown. He is a University of Sioux Falls recruit. He is Chase Kluver. Chase, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Well, congratulations on the win over the Hawks. You know, after losing to Ankeny twice last year, you know, in the last 3 meetings overall, you know, how good did it feel to come out on top?
It felt great, you know. Those two last year, they really killed us. Like, you never want that to happen back-to-back. I mean, you come out that second game ready to go, you're like, oh, we're going to get this done, and then it happens again. It's just like, we got to get them next year. And so we put that work in, and we came back and got the dub.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a lot of motivation for you guys over the summer, huh?
For sure.
Well, after falling behind 10-3 in the second quarter, you led a long drive that eventually resulted in a 9-yard touchdown pass to Sam Heather for the tying score right before halftime. How important was that touchdown just to get some momentum going into the break?
That was everything for us because, you know, we had a little rough patch before that, including myself. I threw a pretty stupid pass on my behalf, and I came back and I told the team, I said, I'm going to get this one back. We got stopped one more time. Defense went out there, got a huge stop, and we took that momentum, went and scored, and then we ended the half off. So it felt good to get back out there and kind of get us ready for the second half, and then we came out very strong.
Well, yeah, in that second half, you guys came out and scored right away on your opening drive and never really looked back. You know, kind of turned into the Braden Jackson show as he rushed for nearly 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half alone. You know, what can you say about his performance and that of your offensive line?
No, he's an incredible player, you know, running behind the big guys up front. We returned a few guys from last year, brought up, you know, Owen Lichty. He kind of started to shine out there, and Braden gets behind them and uses his vision and his speed and power, and once he's gone, he's gone.
Well, does that make your job pretty easy when the line is blocking that way, you know, and Braden is doing his thing?
Oh, it's super easy. If you look at the stat sheet, I threw one pass in the second half. It got called back, so basically 0 passes, and we went out and just dominated. They did their job. I did my job as a leader and led the team and let them go play their game.
Well, Chase, of course, you entered the season, you know, as a returning starter on defense, but you've now added the additional role of the starting quarterback to your plate, you know, which is a pretty rare thing in Class 5A football. You know, how do you feel like your first game went as far as starting on both sides? Did you get pretty tired?
Oh, I was gassed. I'm not going to lie. You got to just be honest with yourself sometimes, but we're going to go condition. You know, I went 40 out of 46 snaps on defense, too, and then obviously went out there on offense. A little slow start for myself, but when the team's playing behind you that well and as good as they did, you kind of just got to play your role and then hope you bounce back the next one.
Well, I know Coach Ryan Pizzetti told me, you know, in the preseason that you were all in favor of starting on both sides of the ball. You know, you wanted to take on this challenge, didn't you?
Oh, for sure. I told him right away. I said, I want to go out there. I want to make an impact on both sides if I can. And if I need a couple plays, hey, go take a couple plays, but I want to be in there as much as I can.
Well, it's obviously a huge challenge physically, but it's also got to be mentally draining because you just have to be, you know, constantly aware of what's going on when you seldom leave the field. Do you think it's almost a bigger challenge mentally?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the mental game in sports is one of the biggest things, and when you get tired, you got to try not to let that affect you. And our coach Taylor Anderson, he puts us through conditioning. He's like, this isn't even about the physical aspect, it's once you get out there, it starts affecting your brain and your mind, and you just got to stay locked in.
Well, we're going to talk more about the offense here in a bit with our other guest, but you know, let's talk a little bit more about the defense with you. You know, what adjustments did you guys make on that side of the ball, if any, after Ankeny took the lead on that 79-yard touchdown pass from Luke Anderson to Andrew Brandhorst? Did you guys make any changes?
Yeah, so when we went to the half, we felt good about our defense overall outside of a couple deep balls. You know, we kind of switched to we were running a little cover 3, put over the middle, and then we realized they just wanted that fade ball, you know, fade ball. We had to cover the middle. You know, when they throw that ball, we got to double it. So we kind of veered away from that and went to, we just call it double, and we tried to double him. And, I mean, they got a couple more, but all in all, I think we put in pretty well. They didn't score.
Well, yeah, Anke entered the season with a pair of 1,000-yard rushers returning from last season in Caden Henkes and Daniel Larmy, but you guys were able to hold them to just 26 yards on the ground. Was it kind of your strategy to shut down the run and make them one-dimensional?
You know, we knew Luke was a good player, but you got two guys like that in the backfield that are kind of squirmy and fast. We know they got explosiveness behind them. We trusted our D-line, and we kind of just played our game, if I'm being honest.
Well, Anderson did pass for 312 yards, but he was also picked off twice as Isaac Brewer and Malachi Crevet each had interception for the Jaguars. You know, do you feel like this defense will be an opportunistic one that can create a lot of turnovers this season?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you got Bassett and Malachi on the edge, and then you got Mitch Hump over here. You know, he can get in there sometimes. He didn't get his chance, but you got Houston Luce in there. He returned from last year. When you got that pressure and make that quarterback get the ball quick, it forces turnovers, and then you got our linebackers ready to make a play if the ball gets to them.
Well, Malachi kind of punctuated the win when he picked off that pass in the final minute, and I don't know how he got his hands up fast enough to grab that ball. You know, that was a heck of a play. And, of course, Malachi used to attend Centennial, but then he moved to Waukee and played the last two seasons for the Warriors before moving back to Ankeny. You know, how happy are you to have him back, you know, on the Jaguars' defense, and what's he going to bring to the unit?
Oh, it's great. He's a huge, fast, physical player. You know, he had back-to-back, I think it was a tackle for loss and then a normal tackle. He had two huge stops for us, and it brought the energy, and he brings the energy in practice and on game day. And I think we needed that as an offense and a defense, because when you get that defensive stop and the offense goes out there, it gives us energy, and then it gives the defense energy, and we clearly showed that. We kept getting stop after stop after stop, and he helps bring the energy that we need.
Well, your team will now host Ames on Friday, and the Little Cyclones are coming off a 59-14 loss to Waukee. I'm sure the biggest thing that you guys have to guard against is a letdown, so I'm sure the coaches have been preaching to you all week, you know, not to overlook the Little Cyclones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they preach it to us. We have everything to lose in that game, and we just got to go out there and play our game. We can't see them as, you know, it was 59-14 to us. We're 1-0, and we want to make it 2-0, and that's all we care about.
Well, what have you learned about, you know, Ames on film? Anything that you have to be concerned about, either offensively or defensively?
I mean, their quarterback back there is scary. I saw him make some incredible plays. He's a great player, great scrambler. I don't know. Someone said he might have been hurt. Doesn't matter. We play our game. We contain him. I think we win the ball game.
Well, since you're playing both ways now, do you have to watch twice as much film?
Yeah, I do watch both sides of the ball. I just watch the whole game. So I go possession from possession and kind of just go from there. I mean, I've watched games over and over again.
Well, after this game, you guys will have to travel to Cedar Falls on September 13th before hosting Southeast Polk, the three-time defending state champion, the following week. So you really can't afford to slip up this week, can you?
Not at all. I mean, we got to play our game, stay consistent, do what we did the last game, maybe include the pass a little bit more by myself. But other than that, I think if we just play the exact same way we did with the same intensity, I think we go out there and we get win after win after win.
Well, Chase, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about your family lineage. When I talked to Coach Pizzetti in the preseason, he mentioned, you know, how your family name is so well known throughout Iowa because there have been so many different Kluvers who have made a name for themselves on the football field. You know, I know some of the names, Eric, Corey, Tyler, Zach, but, you know, if I took a quiz, I'm not sure if I could connect all the dots of how you all are all related. So can you talk about your family's background and what it was like to grow up, you know, in the Kluver household?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty cool story. My dad, he has three brothers. They all got coached by Coach Ryan and Coach Jerry growing up, and then I'll actually be the last Kluver to go through there. So those four boys, my cousin Tyler, my cousin Zach, and then me, we all kind of been around the Pizzetti family, and now I'm the last Jaguar to come through.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So were you just expected to be a football player then?
You'd think. I mean, you'd think I'd be a long snapper with some of the lineage, but I took my own path. I'm a quarterback and a safety, and I kind of like that side of the ball.
Well, yeah, you guys have certainly all made a name for yourselves, so that's awesome. Well, Chase, thanks a lot for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior offensive lineman for the Jaguars, and he was a first-team All-District pick a year ago. Like Chase, he was one of the Centennial captains for the season opener. He is Gavin Humphrey. Gavin, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win over the Hawks. You know, in the last four games of this series, all have been decided by a touchdown or less. You know, did you ever imagine that you guys could come out there and win the game by 21 points?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a tight game because it was a rivalry game. You know, those games are never a blowout, but, you know, we knew that we were a good team coming into the season, and we had a lot to prove after last season, those two losses to them. So we all had a chip on our shoulder, and we all came back, and we played our game, which led to that big win over the Hawks.
Well, after the game was tied at 10-10 at halftime, did you guys make any adjustments along the offensive line? Because, you know, you guys certainly came out and dominated the second half.
Yeah, so that last scoring drive we had to make it a 10-10, we got more in the center there, and we really got behind us O-line and then Braden Jackson, and we came out in the second half and we're like, we're just going to keep pounding the ball, you know, until they stop it. And, you know, they never really made an adjustment to stop it. So we just did that and the ball game was history.
Well, yeah, Braden had the huge second half, and he finished with 236 yards rushing. You know, is he a pretty easy guy to block for? Because it seems like he can turn a little hole into a big gain pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, he's a very good player. You know, even if our O-line slips up, he can still make a play, which, you know, that's something like keeping in the back of your head, you know. Even if you just – if you don't do your job, you know, he can still make a play. But then when you do your job, you know, big plays happen.
Well, I should also mention that J.J. Morgan had a nice game running the ball. He finished with 91 yards and 13 carries. Do you think he's ready to take on a bigger role this year as well?
Oh, yeah. J.J.'s becoming a very good player, you know. He had to sit behind Elijah and Braden last year, so now that Elijah's gone, you know, Braden's taking that running back one job, and now J.J.'s filling into that RB2 job, and he's definitely doing his part.
Of course, you were one of several offensive linemen who are back from last year's squad. Your teammates Max Dickinson and Lucas Jurevich also earned all-district honors a year ago. Did you feel like this was already a pretty cohesive group coming into the season just because of all the experience that you had?
Oh, yeah. We all have been playing for a while together, so we all got that chemistry, you know. We don't even really need to make any calls. We just know what we're doing out there. And, you know, we got one new guy coming this year that's at our tackle, Owen Lichty, you know, and we've got him nice and oriented into the O-line with Braylon at the other tackle. So, yeah, it's a good group.
Well, your defensive teammate, Isaiah Bassett, told me for the prep of the week feature this week that you guys have one of the best O-lines in the state, and he specifically gave you a shout-out. Do you feel like you have one of the best O-lines or the best in the state?
Oh, yeah, we definitely got the best O-line in the state, and I'll argue with that with anyone. This O-line, you know, no one's doing what we're doing. No one's rushing the ball like we're doing. So, and even when we get this pass game going, you know, we'll see that. We'll give Chase plenty of time to make the ball.
Well, some of the stats from Friday's game, you know, reveal how your O-line kind of dominated. You guys had an 18-9 edge in first downs, 397 to 334 edge in total yards. You also won the time of possession 29 minutes to 19, despite Ankeny running 12 more offensive plays than you did. You know, how important do you think the time of possession is? Could you sense that their defense was wearing down in the second half?
Oh, yeah, we really want to keep that ball in our hands as long as we can so we get that defense tired. And then our defense, you know, they like to get three and outs a lot, so we get right back to the field. That's why we got to get that good conditioning so then we can keep that ball moving without any hiccups during the whole game.
There was one stat, though, that I imagine your coaches were not too thrilled about. You guys had 14 penalties for 90 yards, and several of them were false starts by the offense. You know, is that something you guys have worked to correct this week? Is that just a matter of timing?
Yeah. I think it just first game jitters, really. I mean, we all know, like, when it's on two or when it's on one, but we just got to communicate more. You know, that won't happen again the rest of the season.
Well, I talked about the shout-out that Isaiah gave you, and I'll give you a chance, you know, to praise your defense as well. And I know you might have an opportunity to play on that D, you know, too, this season. Your D did not allow a point over the last 34 minutes and was led by Reed Anderson, who racked up 7.5 tackles. You know, do you think this defense can be one of the best in the state as well?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think we also have the best defense in the state, too. You know, we got all these guys flying around to the football and making plays, and this defense is really a well-oriented group also, you know, very tight-knit. You know, that front seven really makes our corners and secondary's job easy, make that quarterback get the ball off fast. And whenever I get my shot on defense too, you know, I'll be ready to play that.
Well, if you get out there on that D-line, you know, with Isaiah and Malachi on either end, I mean, those guys probably going to get so much attention. That's probably going to open things up for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to get playing on that defensive side with those two guys on the end and then with Mitch in the middle. Be a good group.
Well, I asked Chase this question. I'll ask you, too. You know, as you guys prepare to host Ames on Friday, you know, what have you seen from the little Cyclones on film?
Yeah, you know, their D-line's kind of like on the smaller side, so we're going to really attack them and run the ball again like we did last time. You know, we plan on getting a little more balls in the air this time, but other than that, gameplay stays the same. We're going to go win a ball game.
Well, you guys were ranked third in the preseason by the Des Moines Register, but of course you beat the number two team in Ankeny. The number one team was Valley, which needed a late score to knock off Southeast Polk in its opener. You know, it might be too early to tell, but there doesn't appear to be a dominant team like Southeast Polk has been, you know, at times over the last three seasons. Do you think the Class 5A field is pretty wide open this year, and do you feel like, you know, you guys compete with anybody?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely different than the years in the past, you know. Teams like Polk and Valley, they've had a lot of guys like relieve, same with Dowling, and then we're like probably one of the more experienced groups coming back, so I definitely think 5A is open for anyone's taking.
Well, of course, last year you guys entered the playoffs as a number 13 seed, but you ended up making it all the way to the semifinals. Do you think it's crucial to get a higher seed this year, or is it more important just to be healthy at the end of the year so that you can go on a run, you know, like you did last year?
We really want a home playoff game this year. You know, that'd be fun to have. You know, get back in our stadium one last time, and then we would also like to stay healthy though. So if it costs staying healthy and being a higher seed, I think we'd all rather stay healthy.
Yeah, if you guys can get that home game, I'd appreciate that, because I had to make that trip to Bettendorf last year. That was a long trip.
So. Yeah, that was a long trip.
Well, Gavin, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans, and some of your teammates like Chase have already committed. You know, I see on your Twitter page that you received an offer from UW-Platt back in the spring. So do you have any other offers? And, you know, have you visited any schools yet?
Yeah, I visited a couple other schools. You know, I'm talking to coaches throughout the season. You know, once, like, we get deeper into the season, you know, I'll start talking to more coaches about different offers, and once the season finishes up, depending on how I do, I'll commit and to play college football somewhere. So,
well, I know for some guys like Chase, maybe it makes sense to commit early, but for other guys like you, maybe if you wait and have a good year, that can be beneficial too, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Just keeping it open right now, see if I can get anything better than I got right now.
Well, Gavin, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Coldwell Banker Realtor Janae Griffith, and then we had Ankeny Centennial football players Chase Kluber and Gavin Humphrey. I appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.